Film night tonight. I don't know if anyone knew that. And the film we're going to be looking at is Gravity. Has anyone seen this? Stick your hand up if you've seen it. Okay, I'm going to ruin this film for a lot of people because you will know, not the ending, but, you know, the things. Anyway, okay, so this is how the film Gravity starts. It's kind of eerie music, and you have these captions. At 600 kilometres above planet Earth, the temperature fluctuates between above 258 and no air pressure, no oxygen. Life in space is impossible. So the film starts with these sort of scientists working on a space shuttle, and they're doing some experiment up there. And suddenly there's like some news of a like satellite getting destroyed and the debris flying around the Earth. And they're like, we've got, you know, a short amount of time. And eventually this happens. And it's a very exciting scene where Sandra Bullock is flung out into space. And George Clooney's like, you know, sort of manages to find her before she sort of disappears. And, you know, it's very exciting. We're not going to watch it, but trust me, it is exciting. there's only two astronauts that survive this. So the first one is Sandra Bullock's character, Dr. Ryan Stone. And she's like kind of not very confident. I think she's meant to be a biologist or something like that. She's not, you know, she's coming to this new. So she's not sure about the whole thing. She's very nervous. And obviously with the whole space shuttle blowing up and stuff, she's a bit out of her depth. And then the other character that survives is George Clooney's character, which is Matt Kowalski. And he's kind of like an experienced astronaut. And he's kind of like knows what's going on, knows the ropes, pretty confident, pretty sort of like cool when it comes to this situation. So as I say, George Clooney's gone and managed to find Sandra Bullock before she sort of like is blasted into the infinite and beyond. And he sort of tethers her to him. And the plan is they're going to go to the International Space Station. They're going to try and get a shuttle from there and get back down to Earth. Okay? So we're going to watch two like kind of longish clips. This first clip is just under 10 minutes. So please relax, put your feet up and enjoy it. Cheers. Cool. So as Trevor mentioned, self-sacrifice is going to be something we're going to talk about. And I think it's something that we see depicted and reflected upon a lot in our culture. Certainly in, you know, our entertainment. And I think it's fair to say that this is due to a large part to the influence of Christianity and the story of Jesus giving up his life for us. I remember hearing about this man. I don't know if anyone can recognise him. No? Somebody called Captain Oates. And on the Terra Nova Antarctica mission in 1912, he had severe frostbite. And rather than slow down the rest of the team, you know, they're all struggling with the elements trying to get home. He said one evening, like, I'm just going out, might be gone some time. And basically just walked out into the blizzard, into certain death, so that the team could progress. And I was thinking about other examples about this in film. So we've got a few examples here. So Spock in The Wrath of Khan. We've got, what's that, Gandalf in Harry Potter? No bites? No, that's definitely not Gandalf. That's Dumbledore. Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan, Independence Day. The guy at the end, Iron Giant. What else we got? Will Smith in I Am Legend. Boromir, Lord of the Rings. Obi-Wan Kenobi, etc., etc. I'm sure you can all think of many other examples in films. I would have put a couple of examples of literature on there, but I'm not really cultured enough to to recall any. But, you know, it's something we see Hollywood use a lot, to the point that it's almost a cliche. I think Hollywood depicts it in a certain way. It's always very heroic. It's always very, very sort of dignified almost. And I have to say that I don't think the crucifixion was necessarily like that. It was dramatic, it was heroic, but it was not dignified. It was horrible, it was embarrassing, it was degrading. I don't think any Hollywood film would allow the main character to be so thoroughly humiliated as Jesus is in the Gospels. For example, in Mark, Jesus is betrayed, abandoned, disowned, publicly shamed, beaten up, dressed up for a joke, spat on, stripped, killed amongst thieves, insulted. His enemies gloat at the foot of the cross as he dies. I can't think of any Hollywood film that would let their hero die in such degrading and undignified manner. The closest I could probably come would be Aslan, maybe, where they sort of, like, they cut off his hair, and, you know, it's such a powerful animal, so it's quite, you know, they cut off his hair and dance on him and stuff. But obviously that's an allegory for the story of Christ anyway, so it doesn't really count. Even the Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's kind of like story of the death, the final kind of like, what is it, 12 hours of Jesus' life. There's a sort of whipping scene where Jesus is getting whipped really badly and he falls down onto his knees. And then he kind of like heroically and kind of like, you know, machoistically sort of gets up as if to say, oh, is that all you got? You know, almost like, you know, like Clint Eastwood did or something. And, you know, it's quite, you know, even in, you know, that, even in something like Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, one of the most violent films ever, you know, they don't allow Jesus to be humiliated in the way that Mark suggests he was. And that's bad enough, but Jesus isn't just a hero in a Hollywood film. He's God himself. He's the creator of the universe. He humbled himself to the death of a slave, to die even on a cross, as Paul tells us in Philippians. No wonder it was scandal to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. I think sometimes we're over-familiar with this story of self-sacrifice, of Jesus' self-sacrifice, and we can forget just how shocking this story is to some people and was certainly, you know, back in the first century. People at the time thought it was utterly ridiculous. I'm going to show you now an image which, actually, if I saw it in a paper today or whatever, I'd be very offended by. But this is from the second century, approximately. It's called the Alexamenos Graffito, and they found it in Rome. And it's really interesting, because you see what people thought of it. There's somebody on a cross with a donkey's head, obviously meant as an insult to Christianity. And the captioning, it's in Greek, it says, Alexamenos worships God, or worships his God. And it just shows you the shock of that society to this story of self-sacrifice by Jesus, by God himself, that he would give himself up to be so thoroughly degraded, so thoroughly humiliated, that he would even die the death of a slave on a cross. We're going to go now into our next clip. So, obviously, George Clooney's drifted off. Sandra Bullock's got in the space station. Space station has been hit again. It's all exploded. It's all mashed up. And she gets into a pod. She gets into a pod just in the nick of time, releases from the space station. And she's like, right, okay, now I'm going to like initiate the sequence to start going. And this is where you pick it up. Cool. So one of the things that drew me to Gravity was there's lots of like little references to kind of Christianity and sort of also religion more generally, but it's quite interesting to see that in a Hollywood film. Like, probably they don't mention Jesus or God specifically unless they're like sort of swearing when things are going wrong. But it's quite nice to see that in a Hollywood film. It makes it quite interesting. So the thing we're going to talk about there is that a return of a character that sacrificed themselves sort of lifts Sandra Bullock's character from a deep and gloomy place. She's at her lowest ebb, and that sort of, you know, this sort of return of this character turns things around, albeit there is kind of a hallucination or whatever you take it as. And it makes me think that the sacrifice of Jesus, it's not just a historical fact. It's not just something that happened that 2,000 years ago. It's not just something in the past. It's something that matters for the present. And it's something that will matter for the future. I was thinking one of the things that kind of really spurs her on is, you know, that thought that, you know, that character Matt has sacrificed himself, has given himself up so that she can make it. And I was reminded of this passage from 1 Corinthians, which is a little segment. It's, you were bought at a price, you were bought at a cost. We're just there on the screen. So we'll go to the next slide. He says it twice in 1 Corinthians. Keep going back to the question. Yeah. So when does Jesus' sacrifice encourage us to keep going and not give up? When does Jesus' sacrifice encourage us to keep going and not give up, as it did for Sandra Bullock's character in that film? Well, it's that, you know, maybe it's fear, maybe it's whatever. But we'll go to the next slide, sorry. So Paul says you were bought at a price twice in 1 Corinthians. The first time, the context is fighting against sin. That reminder that Jesus sacrificed himself so that we could conquer sin, conquer death. And there, the issue is sexual immorality. But it could be anything. It could be, in that instance, it's lust. It could be greed. It could be anger. It could be envy. It could be malice. It could be a whole host of things. Jesus' sacrifice matters for us now because it means that we're bought at a cost, and it spurs us on to fight against that temptation of sin. And then the second times it's used, it's a little bit later on. And it's talking about the present material situation of some of the people in the Corinthian church. Perhaps you can empathize with not being happy with your material situation. Perhaps you don't have enough money. Perhaps your love life isn't great. Perhaps you're struggling with ill health. A whole host of different things can make you unhappy with the material situation. And Paul tells us, if you can change this, by all means, change it. But what's important isn't necessarily the material situation you find yourself in. What's important is that you were bought at a cost through the blood of Jesus. And the exact context he's talking about is living as a slave in the first century. I think certainly that material situation really puts into context anything I have gone through or almost certainly will go through. Probably puts into context, being stuck in space or whatever. Imagine being in that material situation and being told that if you can change it, by all means change it. But ultimately, what's important is that you were still bought at a cost. Go to the next slide. So you were bought at a price, and that price is no less than the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember this as we go into communion. Amen.